the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to rightly see.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Christmas hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is. A good hymn like that, it not only is a matter of, say, for Lutherans, a famous Gerhard hymn, nostalgic. There's more to hymn singing than, well, I remember singing that when I was a little kid, or wow, we sang that last year and it really stuck with me. Now, there is part of that, but do hymns do more than just bring back the memories or kind of wend their way into our minds? Is there a purpose to Christian hymnody that is linked to the proclamation of God's word and the teaching of God's word? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the purpose of hymns with Dr. Christopher Davis. Then a little bit later, we'll be back in our series on the book of Proverbs, ending Proverbs 26 with Pastor Jonathan Visk and beginning Proverbs 27. Joining us to talk about the purpose of hymns, Dr. Christopher Davis, pastor of First English Lutheran Church in Park Rapids, Minnesota. His doctoral dissertation was on using Lutheran hymnody as a resource for daily devotions. Dr. Davis, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. It's wonderful to be with you and to talk about this awesome, wonderful subject.
Why have Christian hymns been a part of the life of the church from the very beginning?
I would say because the Lord set the pattern for them in the Old Testament, in Scripture, from the very beginning. He gave us the pattern of hymns, poetry put to music to be sung by his people. And we see that as early as Genesis chapter 4 when Lamech is singing. Not a very encouraging hymn, but it's a hymn nonetheless that the Lord uses to teach us and promote a message and to proclaim a message. And you see that continued in Exodus 15, where Moses sings about all that God has done and all that he accomplished in the Exodus and how he delivered his people. You see that as Deborah is singing in Judges chapter 5, and actually tells us in Judges chapter 5 that they went down to the river to proclaim the deeds of the Lord, to sing and proclaim the deeds of the Lord. You see that in the Psalms, of course, obviously in the Psalms. You see that in Hannah's song in 1 Samuel chapter 2. So I think it's a pattern the Lord has established for his people, and the Lord knows that music is such a powerful tool, such a powerful gift, that using it connected to his word is a way to proclaim and reach people and to do what we would pray in the Collect for the Word, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest his word. It's just a powerful tool. And so the pattern was set, I think, for God's people throughout the Old Testament scriptures. And when Christ came and died and rose for his church, that same pattern of proclaiming with God's word set to poetry and music in the Psalms and in new songs, new hymns, were given to the people of God. So I think that's the reason and why we have these wonderful hymns.
What are the biggest misconceptions regarding hymns among Christians?
I would say two things. I think people, unfortunately, and I've seen this firsthand, that the music in church doesn't make a lot of difference. What we sing and the music we use doesn't make a lot of difference. And that couldn't be farther from the truth, because we're told, again, Scripture gives us the pattern. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And we all know the old Latin phrase, most of us do, the old Latin phrase, lex orandi, lex credendi, and how we pray and how we worship influences what we believe. So I think one of the saddest misconceptions is it doesn't really matter. We can have, like everything else in our life, we can have the songs that we like, the type of music we like, and we'll just sing that in church. It makes us happy, it makes us feel good, it doesn't really matter. And I think the second part goes with that too, that this idea of praise, what praise really is, you know, and this idea that we talk about ourselves and our praising God and the songs that we sing and those types of songs, and we don't realize, naturally I think don't realize, that again, those hymns are meant to be a vehicle for the Word of God. They're meant to proclaim the message, the plan of salvation in Jesus Christ and all that he did. And so I think those are the two biggest misconceptions, and they go together.
How did Lutheran hymnody help spread the Reformation in the 16th century?
Well, one of the most intriguing quotes, and one of the things that I came across early in my research, and it just intrigued me, was a Jesuit by the name of Adam Conson, about 100 years after the Reformation, made a statement when he was talking about Luther, his influence, Lutheran hymns. And Father Conson said, Luther had destroyed more souls with his hymns than with all of his writing and preaching combined. I found that fascinating because we know the Roman Catholic position on works and things and how contrary those were to the whole Reformation and the Reformation principles of being saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. So the Jesuits, he saw that the Lutheran hymns had an impact like none other. And I think when you look at that and you look at the hymns between 1523 and 1524, Luther wrote over 40 hymns. Luther saw the influence of hymns and proclaiming the truth, going all the way back to St. Ambrose and how St. Ambrose fought the Arians and the Arian message with scripture-based, Christ-centered hymns like Savior of the Nations Come. Luther took that principle and he spread that out. He wrote letters. He wrote a letter to his famous letter to his dear friend George Spalatin and said, we need poets. We need people to write these hymns, to take God's word and put it to music and poetry, to get this message out to the people. And again, over that period of a year, Luther wrote 40 hymns. You have hymns like Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, that tell the story of salvation. You have all the catechetical hymns, and those hymns caught on like wildfire. And again, I didn't understand this either, so I think it's natural. I don't think people understand how important singing and spreading the news of the day was to people in Luther's day, how news and stories and truth was told and sung to people on the street corners so that you could pass on information. And Luther saw the power of that and how Scripture had used hymns in the past and how, again, people like Ambrose had used hymns in the past to proclaim truth and fight heresy. And Luther just went all in. And we see this, and we see, and he loved music to start with. I mean, he loved, absolutely loved music. But we see this, and we have some anecdotal, although very, I think, very strong evidence. You have some anecdotal evidence in places like Joachimsthal, Germany, and there's a wonderful book by Christopher Boyd Brown entitled Singing the Gospel that talks about how Lutheran hymns cemented. They literally cemented a Lutheran ethos and a confessional identity among the people of Joachimsthal, who were bombarded, like people today, bombarded with different theologies and different ideas all the time. And for 100 years, against great struggle, people being told they couldn't worship in the Lutheran way even, those hymns that were so ingrained in the lives of the people, not only in church, but in home devotions, private devotions, school singing, they established that Lutheran identity that lasted. So I think we see things like that, Todd, where the evidence is just so clear, the role that Lutheran hymns had proclaiming the Reformation theology of Christ crucified and risen for us.
How does seeing hymns, as you have mentioned here, as an extension of the proclamation of the word, how does that change the way that we use and see hymns?
Well, I think it goes back to the question you asked me earlier about the greatest misconceptions. I recall, and forgive me for this, but I came into Lutheranism as an adult. I grew up in a Reformed tradition, the old congregational tradition that sadly is what they call the United Church of Christ today, and it's just a heretical church body. So I'm at the seminary at Fort Wayne, actually back for the Good Shepherd Institute with my organist from here at Dorset, and we're listening to a presentation by Cantor Richard Resch on Paul Gerhardt's hymns proclaiming the theology of the cross. Todd, I'm telling you, it was like the sun came up. It was like the fireworks in the sky as Cantor was talking about how the hymns like Why Should Cross and Trial Grieve Me and If God Himself Before Me, Who Can Be Against Me? As he went through those and talked about how they were based on Scripture and how they proclaimed Christ and the theology of the cross, it was just opening. It was epiphany. It was just unbelievable. And I think if people could see that and understand, and I've seen it firsthand in my own church, when they start to make that connection between, hey, it's not just about the music and tapping my toes and things I like. It's about proclaiming the word of God and the message that's in the hymn. And you start hearing people say things like, you know, Pastor, it really is the words that are most important, isn't it? It's that kind of thing that I think changes your whole way you look at the treasure that is our Lutheran hymnody. I really do.
So let's go into a little more detail. You say that the main purpose of hymnody is proclamation and catechesis instruction. What does that look like?
Well, it looks like, for example, what Luther did in his catechetical hymns in the 1520s when he took confession and absolution and wrote a hymn about it. When he took the Lord's Prayer and wrote the hymn, Our Father Who in Heaven Above. When he took the message of Christ on the cross and wrote the wonderful hymn, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. Or the Ten Commandments from the Catechism and wrote, These are the Holy Ten Commands. Or We All Believe in One True God, or To Jordan Came Christ Our Lord, which teaches baptism and what our Lord's baptism means for us and how it makes our baptism. All of those things proclaim. They proclaim and catechize the truth of the gospel, the truth of Christ's atoning work. And they help us learn. We have a thing in Minnesota called release time classes. It's basically Wednesday church school. The kids get out of school for an hour and they come and they learn about Christ. Sometimes, some kids, it's the only teaching they get about Christ in their whole life. So, really important. And one of the things I do with those kids, and I think it makes the point of what Luther was doing with hymns, I just have them speak a hymn or a psalm, and we do it over and over again for several weeks in a row, and I don't even tell them they're memorizing, Todd. I don't even mention that at all. And before long, guess what happens? They learn it. They know it. And so these hymns and proclaiming God's word in this form, they sort of make the truth of that collect that we pray come true. Helps us read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, and it changes everything.
Dr. Christopher Davis is our guest. We're talking about the purpose of hymns. When we come back, Luther wrote about the life of the Christian in terms of prayer and meditation and suffering. What did he mean by that, and how does that understanding of the Christian life go with the proper use of hymns? Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Learn more on the Support Donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Trinity Lutheran Church in Vilonia, Indiana, is a mighty fortress that stands as a bulwark against the attacks of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. We are located in Jackson County, about 2 miles south of historic Fort Vilonia on State Road 135. Join us every Lord's Day for Sunday school and Bible class at 8:30 and divine service at 9:30. Come and receive the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation from God's Valiant One, Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and holds the field forever.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Why should cross and trial?
The hymn, Why Should Cross and Trial Grieve Me? We're talking about the purpose of hymns with Dr. Christopher Davis. He's pastor of First English Lutheran Church in Park Rapids, Minnesota. His doctoral dissertation was on using Lutheran hymnody as a resource for daily devotions. Speaking of hymnody for daily devotions, Lutheran Service Book from Concordia Publishing House is the gold standard of Lutheran hymnals, and it is designed not only to be used in the divine service on Sunday morning and the other services that take place occasionally in the church, but in your home, in your everyday devotions. It's made to use it that way in its services, its prayers, and especially its hundreds and hundreds of hymns. Find out more about Lutheran Service Book from Concordia Publishing House at cph.org or give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. So, Dr. Davis, Luther wrote about the Christian life in terms of prayer, meditation, suffering. What did he mean by that?
The famous quote from Luther, where Luther calls the devil God's fool. It goes with the theology of the cross. We live in this fallen world, and the things of God are not the things that we see. The things of God are hidden in Christ, in the cross, in his plan of salvation. The devil takes the things of this fallen world, and he uses them to try to destroy faith, to try to take us away from Christ and his grace and his love. And Luther saw this all in connection with being in Scripture. It's sort of based on Psalm 119, his studies of Psalm 119, especially verse 105, your word is a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. He understood and took what David was proclaiming in that wonderful psalm, and he said, it's all about being in God's word. So Luther, he came up with these principles, these ideas based on the psalm, that we're in God's word by asking the Lord, praying to the Holy Spirit to come to us through his word as he promises. Again, like Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Luther would pray. His first principle of this triad or these three rules that he came up with based on Psalm 119 was oratio, or prayer. So he would pray. He would say, pray the Holy Spirit would do exactly what God promises to do through his word, come to you and enlighten you with the word that you're studying, the word that you're focusing on. And that would then lead to the second rule, second step. Luther would meditate, meditatio, the second of these three rules. He would meditate on Scripture, and it was profound. He would read Scripture out loud. He would read it over and over again. He would say it in his mind. He would compare different text. He would just literally wrestle with the word and spend time with it. And what Luther believed, based on Scripture, was that being in God's word like that, that would attract the devil's attention. And being Christian, being baptized in Christ, the devil then attacks us. He's after us. He wants us back. That would bring the struggles that we encounter in this fallen world, that we deal with every day, the things that we go through. And that in turn, those struggles, the tentatio, the temptation, God would use to drive us back into his word in prayer and meditation. And that cycle, continually being, praying, meditating on, dealing with the temptations the devil brings our way, the struggles. Luther had another word, anfechtung, that is used a lot to talk about those struggles. Those three things, Todd, would bring us closer to the Lord. They would strengthen our faith. They would make sense of the struggles we go through. And they would actually bring us closer to the Lord. So what the devil meant for bad and to use against us, God turns around and uses for good through this being in his word and dealing with the struggles of life. And that's why he called the devil God's fool, Luther did, because God is always going to defeat the devil when we're in his word. So those are the principles that Luther dealt with to teach us how to be in his word every day.
So how does that understanding of the Christian life and the word of God in the Christian's life go with the proper use of hymns?
Well, if the hymns are, and of course they are, just God's word put to poetry and music, then being in the hymns is being in God's word. The meditatio, the meditating. So using, for example, if I may, I love Paul Gerhardt hymns. If I could have a T-shirt that said, Paul Gerhardt's the man, I would wear it. And I love his hymns. And one of my favorite hymns of all time, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is. Paul Gerhardt lays out the treasure of the Word made flesh. He bases that hymn in large part on John 1:14. What does it mean? Who is this baby lying there in the manger? O Jesus Christ, thy manger is a paradise at which my soul reclineth. The hymns function as a perfect vehicle for the meditation on the Word of God because they are the Word of God and they're put in form that is meditative already. They're ready made for the meditatio. So using this wonderful paradigm, if you will, that Luther had, ratio, meditatio, tentatio, prayer, meditation, struggle. The hymns, Todd, they're perfect for them because they're literally meditative, poetic forms of the Word of God ready for us to spend time with, to wrestle with, to think about. What does that mean? O Jesus Christ, thy manger is a paradise at which my soul reclineth. How does that play with the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us? And it's just wonderful. So as I got into this project and studied the way the Lord has used hymns in Scripture throughout, from creation, the fall, throughout our Lord's coming, you just see that the hymns are just so exciting. The hymns are just perfect for the study of, the wrestling with, the thinking about, the spending time with God's Word, because they're already in that form, ready to go, ready for us to spend time with. It's just wonderful.
Give us some examples of how studying the text of hymns help us better use them in our daily lives.
Well, let me go back to another Paul Gerhardt hymn. If God himself be for us, I had a dear, dear friend of mine in my congregation several years ago that was dying of cancer. And I'd gather with him and his family in his bed. He had a hospital bed in his house, and he was on hospice. And we started reading that hymn together based on Romans chapter 8, verse 28, if God be for us, who can be against us? And we would read all the ways that Gerhardt explains that end of Romans, you know, how there's nothing on earth that can separate us from Christ's love. And he spells it out in each stanza of that hymn in vivid, again, meditative style that just helps us focus on what that means, that if God's for us in Christ, nothing can be against us. And they love that. I love doing it with them. It was a joy to be with them in those circumstances. And the day he died, I was with him in the hospital, and we read through that hymn together. I read it. He listened. We talked about it. We prayed it. it was his life in Christ as he was finishing his life here on earth and looking forward to eternity in heaven with Christ. It was just so powerful. Or another example, and Paul Gerhardt hymns are wonderful. There's so many wonderful hymns, but why should cross and trial grieve me? You might be wondering. You're going through difficult times in life. You're struggling with what we've all been struggling with for a year. You know, all the things that have happened. We've lost loved ones. We've been scared and worried and all the things that churches have been closed and all these things. And then you read these wonderful words of Paul Gerhardt's hymn based on 1 Peter 1 about the trials we go through that strengthen our faith. And you see stanza 2 of that hymn, when life's troubles rise to meet me, though their weight may be great, they will not defeat me. God, my loving Savior, sends them. He who knows all my woes knows how best to end them. I mean, that is just awesome. How practical that is for our lives is to use these hymns for our daily devotions in a prayer, meditation, dealing with the struggles, the trials of life, how practical it is and how ready-made it is. It's just wonderful stuff.
Finally, tell us about a project that you and your congregation undertook to use Lutheran hymns to their fullest.
Project part of the dissertation is the practical part, and it's where you do your research. In addition, in a doctor of ministry, that in addition to the research that you do, book research and things like that, you do a project, and it's very practical because it's meant, the whole program is meant to help you help your people and your congregation and your circuit and the area around you. Like yet many congregations, I'm sure this is typical of countless congregations, there is some discord rather than concord over music. And people have their ideas about what they like, and they like some of the more, again, loaded word, I know, contemporary type music and things like that. And my congregation, although never really going that far into contemporary worship, they wanted some songs that were maybe questionable, and they wanted the kids to sing a lot of the campy songs, a lot of those kind of songs when they sang in front of the congregation and when they learned music at VBS. And the elders and I were promoting the singing by the congregation and the children in worship and at Vacation Bible School of singing hymns. We promoted that to teaching of hymns. And so there was some discord over that. So the project is all about helping the dear people see this wonderful epiphany that I've seen and what these hymns really are. And it involved basically doing a sermon series at Advent. Wonderful way to use hymns, I think, is to do a sermon series. They're based on the Word of God. They are proclamations of the Word of God. They literally are the Word of God set to poetry and music. And so we did an Advent series where we talked about what hymns are and what they're used for and how they proclaim the Word of God. And that was wonderful. That was a stage of the project. The next stage of the project was during Lent. I put together a 30-day devotion booklet based on the hymns. And I had, as part of that devotion, you would literally look up the text that the hymn is based on at the bottom of each hymn, and you would read that, and you would read the hymn in toto, and then you would do a devotion that the hymn was based on the hymn text itself. And the feedback on that was wonderful. And then finally, the last part of the major part of the project was we had a retreat, a day-long Bible study on Lutheran hymnody, what it is, what it's meant to do, and Luther's principles of oratio, meditatio, and tentatio, and how they all work together in plain language, and, you know, getting rid of the Latin ideas. You don't need to understand the Latin to understand the wonderful principles of prayer, meditation, and struggle in our lives. And so those three things were the major components, and I finished the project up by doing interviews and questionnaires with the folks that were involved in it. And Todd, I was just so heartened the response of folks, that even folks that really said they didn't really care much for Lutheran hymnody before, the change in the attitude towards seeing hymns as proclaiming the Word of God and how important that was. It was so heartwarming. It was so encouraging to see the people come to appreciate that and to actually say, in interviews, to actually say, you know, Pastor, we're going to start using hymns for devotion texts. We see how wonderful that is. And so that was the project, the practical part of the research in a nutshell.
Dr. Christopher Davis is pastor of First English Lutheran Church in Park Rapids, Minnesota. His doctoral dissertation was on using Lutheran hymnody as a resource for daily devotions. Dr. Davis, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We are back in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 26, to finish it up, and starting Proverbs 27 with Pastor Jonathan Fisk next. Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life is the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's written by Dr. Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more about Connected to Christ at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
Can you ever hear too much good news? Especially in challenging times, we need to hear how God is working through His church to bring truth, goodness, and beauty to the world. Hi, this is Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Take a break from cable news and find refreshment at interesttime.org, where you can read all about what's happening in places like St. Mark Lutheran Church and School in Kaneohe, Hawaii. Sign up for a free subscription and share with anyone that needs a good boost. Again, that's interesttime.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music.
Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.